Hey, everybody. Welcome to Renewing the Center. It is good to have you with us here on the podcast. If you are tracking along with us close to real time, we are now in the Easter season. And so today we're going to look at the story of Thomas. And this is one of my favorite stories because it comes so soon after the resurrection. And I think you're going to see some things today that are maybe really important and really strategic. It's telling to me that so soon after Jesus's resurrection, doubt about his resurrection and what it all means enters into the story. So I'm going to read a passage from John 20, and then we're going to pray and then just spend a little time in the Word considering this very Easter theme, one we may not consider to be an Easter theme, but it is. Doubt is a part of the story. It's a really important part of the story. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, the disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we just ask you to help us. We pray that you would give us grace. Help us to slow down, to take a deep breath. Help us to welcome you, Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you would give us the opportunity here in these next few short moments to think deeply about not just your resurrection, but about the doubt that ultimately each and every one of us have to wrestle with as we live our lives. Bless us, God. Speak to us. Speak through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Sunday following Easter Sunday is referred to oftentimes as Low Sunday. It's the Sunday where lots of churches read this passage. We may do that actually at Trinity. And here we are just a few short days after Easter on the church calendar. That's the date of the publishing of this episode. But the passage actually is also just a little bit after Easter, the evening, and then 1 week after Easter. And Jesus appears to his friends. Low Sunday is because Thomas missed it. It's called Low Sunday because he and the friends of Jesus enter into a really painful place, like really soon after. Imagine being Thomas. I mean, you're out, and we don't know why he wasn't there. Maybe he was out walking the streets in his grief and confusion. Maybe he was out, you know, getting food for his friends or taking care of something or visiting someone. We don't know why he was gone that night, but Jesus appears to his friends and they have this jubilant encounter with God. And Thomas comes back and they're like, "Thomas, you missed it. Jesus came and it was amazing." And Thomas is just so bummed. And Thomas basically says, "If I don't see Jesus myself and put my finger in the nail marks, in the spear mark, I'm not going to believe what you guys are saying." And a week goes by, y'all. And I was having a conversation with someone recently where they asked the question, like, why does God let things play out so long? And I don't know. Maybe it's because he's not anxious like we are. You know, we want to resolve tensions as fast as we can. And yet Jesus, he was willing to let things ride. You know, he's willing to let it play out. And here that happens, you know, he shows up, he is present to his friends, and they are responsive. And Thomas is heartbroken and doubting. And rather than resolve that tension within a day or two, I mean, if I had been Jesus in my anxiety, I would have shown up like 30 minutes later and said, Thomas, I'm so sorry you missed it. Like, here, connect to me, believe me. And yet Jesus lets this thing go for a week. It's actually, to me, reminiscent of what happened after Lazarus died. It's like Jesus lets it ride for 4 days before he shows up. And Martha and Mary are devastated. Well, Thomas's devastation is probably growing. His confusion, his cynicism, him feeling left out, him feeling different from his friends, all of these things were probably just escalating over the course of the week. And yet Jesus lets it ride for a week. And then we're told that he shows up a week later and he bypasses the barriers just as he did for the other friends. There's something so powerful about this that we'll be probably reflecting on here soon, connected to resurrection. Like, something really interesting is happening with Jesus. You know, he's able to have Thomas and others touch him. He's able to eat food, but he's also able to walk through doors. I mean, this is a really strange thing going on. I remember reading N.T. Wright say that the resurrected Jesus is at home and comfortable in both God's world and in our world. He is physical, and yet he is able to walk through walls and doors. I mean, this is a major, major project for the early church to wrap their hearts and their heads around what exactly was going on in Jesus's resurrected body. N.T. Wright has written brilliantly about this in Surprised by Hope. But at any rate, Jesus bypasses the barriers and he encounters Thomas. And the thing that I love is that when Thomas is saying, I won't believe unless I touch, right? And it didn't seem like Jesus was there when he said those words to his friends. When Jesus comes back a week later, he addresses the very thing Thomas said seemingly when Jesus was absent. He essentially tells Thomas, I know what you are wondering, and I know what you said. And I think that for many of us, there's something here that Jesus hears us even when we think he's far from us, that he is aware of our doubts. He's aware of our angst. He's aware of our pain. And Jesus in this moment looks at Thomas and he was like, come near to me and I want to give you the very thing you asked me for. Now, the irony in this moment is that Thomas seemingly doesn't need to take Jesus up on his offer. Like, when it gets down to it and he sees Jesus, you know, he actually goes further than the other disciples. He says, my Lord and my God. I mean, he actually says the truest thing about Jesus. He calls him God. And it's really important that for you to know that Jesus doesn't rebuke Thomas when he says that. I mean, a good Jew, if you called him God, even a great teacher, a prophet, would have been duty-bound to tear his clothes and call blasphemy. And yet Jesus welcomes Thomas's affirmation that he's God, which would indicate that he is God. And I love the fact that Thomas ultimately doesn't, when he encounters Jesus in his a doubt, he doesn't even need to do the very thing that he said he was going to have to do. He just is with God, and that's enough. And so I want you to think about the fact that your doubts, and you have them, we all have them. Everyone experiences doubt, all kinds of different kinds of doubt. But doubt is not unfamiliar to the story of the friends of Jesus. Thomas doubted. And that gives you permission to bring your doubts to God. And just like Jesus moved toward Thomas in his doubt, he moves toward us in ours, if we'll just hang in there. And I don't know if this is true, but this is my hunch. My hunch is that the bravest thing that Thomas did was just stick around. I mean, a week goes by, he could have just cut bait. He could have left. He could have said, well, now I'm not like one of you. I didn't get what you got. And after a few days, it would have been understandable for Thomas to think like, I'm out of here. But he didn't leave. He hung around. And if you find yourself in a place of doubt, maybe the bravest thing you can do is just to hang in there, to keep showing up to your neighborhood group, to keep opening your Bible, to keep walking into the church, to keep saying a prayer, asking God for his presence, his comfort, his mercy. Because sometimes the most courageous thing is to quite literally not give up. And I'm so thankful for Thomas. I am so thankful for his example of just sticking around. There have been times in my life where that was the best I could do, was just hang in there, was just to stick around. And one of the things that I'm learning and continue to learn is that God will meet us. He'll show up. He'll do something good. But we've got to hang in there. Doubt is a part of the human experience. It's a part of the story. It's literally a part of the gospel story. And it's a part of each and every one of our stories. It's what we do in our doubt and with our doubt that I think determines the trajectory of our life. One of the things that I'm trying to do in my own life is to welcome my vulnerability, to welcome it, whether it's doubt or fear, and then ask God to meet me in that vulnerability and move me through it. And when I ask him for those things, he asks me to participate with him. He asks me to show up. He asks me to hang in there. He asks me to bring my fears, but keep coming. And I think he's asking the same for you and of you. And he's asking the same thing of all of us. I pray for you and I pray for myself during this Easter season that God would give us the courage to walk with him, the courage to persist, the courage to name our fears and our doubts as we look for Jesus to meet with us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the clarity to call you Lord and God, like Thomas, our brother, did. God bless you guys. Go in peace. We'll see you soon.